coming up.
I guess my breasts were like going up and down and people could see them. And a lot of the comments were like, what's going on? Why are you a man with breasts? Are you transitioning? You know, what's going on? And that's when I made the video speaking about it, saying I have gynecomastia. That's why I have breasts.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Man with the Gents Clinic. Six South African male medical doctors on a mission to change the way in which we perceive healthcare. In the studio, we've got an interesting guest who goes by the name of Hope Pakwaho. Did I pronounce it right?
Yes, you did.
He is a content creator and he has a very rare condition that's not common in men, which is gynecomastia. Well, in some circles, it is common and we'll get into that. But thank you for being here today and for being comfortable enough to share your story.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Vish, you want to start with the questions? Vish is here too, I guess.
Hey, guys. We normally do trauma story of the week and, you know,
taking it a bit easy. Okay. So let's ease it in with the trauma story of the week. Vish, you have anything?
Sure. I mean, nothing really interesting. It was...
Nothing really interesting for them.
I actually was called to theater during the week.
Yeah.
Was an iatrogenic injury or an injury intra-op while delivering a baby.
Okay.
By the gynies. It was just, I mean, something that can happen and the patients are consented for it during the operation.
Yeah.
So it was a bladder injury that, you know, once we repaired it, the bleeding, they couldn't really control from the uterus and ended up doing a hysterectomy. But while doing that, so we had obviously left after we repaired the bladder, but obviously while trying to get hemostasis or control the bleeding, they actually tied off both the ureters, which obviously we came back to the theater to fix.
Cool. So you managed to repair the bladder. Then they called back again.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did they say? Then the...
Come assess again.
Then the two ureters, which is the pipes from the kidneys to the bladder, were also tied off.
Yeah.
So closed.
So
basically, yeah, no, you tie it off, it's getting into the bladder.
Yeah, you're tying it off, yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And but I mean, luckily, fortunately for the patient, you know, we obviously fixed it. Patient is doing well now. So I think that's the main thing.
100%. That's the most important thing. Okay. Great. Well, that's interesting. I think more for the medical folk out there. But Hope, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
So I'm from Limpopo. Grew up in multiple areas of Limpopo, but spent majority of my childhood in Polokwane, which is the capital city of the province. 2023, moved to Joburg for school. I'm a law student at Wits. Okay. I'm in third year now. I'm a content creator. So outside of the parameters of being a law student, I'm a student lifestyle digital content creator. And yeah, that's who I am.
Okay.
Okay, nice. We were also from Wits.
Yeah.
Oh, Wits. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
And my fiance is a conveyancer.
Okay, cool. That's nice.
Oh, she's also a Wits, yeah?
UJ.
So, oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, nice.
So you move. I'm sure this, I mean, let's delve straight into the condition.
Yeah.
Right? So when did you first notice that it was a problem?
Not that it was a problem, because I still don't think it's a problem. But I've always been a chubby kid from like 6, 7. I've always been a big kid. And so when I was getting into like my teens, like 13, 14, I then noticed that I do have larger breasts compared to my male counterparts. But then I thought to myself, no, man, I'm just chubby. And my family would also say, oh, no, you're just chubby. Like the cousins that I would speak to would say, no, you're just chubby. But then as I proceeded through my high school career, I started losing weight. And the more weight I lost is the more defined my breasts became, right? So that's when I realized that, no, I am different. And that's when I started doing like my research on it, like slowly but surely. My first Google search was like, what is it called when men have boobs? And I saw gynecomastia. I was in grade 10, 11. It was a big word. I didn't know what it meant. And I was just like, ah, okay, then I guess I have that. Didn't pay much attention to it. Grade 12, second half of the year, I had to move into hostel. So I went to a school that had both day scholars and students that lived in hostel. So for the second half of the year, I wanted to move into hostel so that I could focus on school only. And I think that's when I started feeling like my breasts are a bit of an issue, because everyone had their own bedrooms, but we had to share the bathrooms. So in the mornings when we had to go shower, I didn't feel comfortable walking around with the towel just around my waist. So I would either get up very early to be the first to shower or be the very last one to shower. If not, then I would go into like the showers with like my gown and my pajamas and, you know, fully clothed. And I have a friend who asked me like, why do you go to the bathroom fully clothed or like with a towel on your chest? Like, why do you do that? And then I told him that like, I have breasts that the rest of you guys in here don't have. And for me, that makes me a bit uncomfortable. And he wanted to know more, but I didn't have the answers to tell him more. I was just like, I once Googled it. It starts with the letter G. I don't really know what it is, but it is a medical condition. Moved on, didn't really talk about it anymore. And then first year, 2023, was when I really started like doing my research on it. Trying to figure out what causes it, trying to figure out how it can be fixed. Fast forward to today.
Sure. And have you seen a medical specialist regarding it?
No, I haven't. I've thought about doing it, but my thing is also like, if I go see like a medical practitioner about it, like, what am I going there for? Am I going there to fix it? Am I going there because I have an issue with it? So these are questions I ask myself. And I've decided not to. Maybe it's like not the best decision that I came to, but I've decided not to see a medical practitioner because it doesn't really bother me.
Okay. So it's not really like something that concerns you.
Yes. Yeah. It's not like an issue that I have. You know, it's not like this painful part of my life that I feel like I need to let go of.
So, I mean, I think what Vish is trying to allude to is like, you wouldn't go down the path of like surgically removing them, but like from a body dysmorphia point of view, you don't like look at it and go like, oh, that's weird, or I would want to change that at all.
No.
That's admirable because, I mean, all of us have certain things, I suppose, certain aspects of our body that we wish we could like change. Like, for example, I had a hair transplant.
Okay.
Because I felt really self-conscious about the fact that I was going bald. And it was something that was killing my self-confidence. Would you say that it doesn't? Like, you could wear whatever you want, you could dress however you want, and you're fine.
Yeah, it doesn't really hit my confidence, because even how I came to speak about it on social media is that in one of my vlogs, so I shoot my vlogs on like the 05 setting, right? Which shows, it's like selfie mode, but it shows most part of your body because it widens out the camera lens, right? So as I was walking fast, I guess my breasts were like going up and down and people could see them. And a lot of the comments were like, what's going on? Why are you a man with breasts? Are you transitioning? You know, what's going on? And that's when I made the video speaking about it, saying I have gynecomastia. That's why I have breasts. I wear whatever I want, tight shirt, loose shirts. It doesn't really bother me. Like, it's not, it's not like, it is a condition, but I don't consider myself somebody who like suffers from this condition. Obviously, I do have it, but I'm not like suffering. I don't have this urge, like I said, to like remove it because it's this thing that is like a dark part of my life.
Mm.
So, yeah, I don't.
So, I think the main reason I think, I mean, I asked actually is not just looking at it in isolation, like not just looking at as that is the problem, but if they were, because I mean, there generally there has to be some hormone imbalances which would cause it, right?
Yes.
So it means that there's some other underlying issue that may be causing it. So other underlying issues can also cause other issues.
Okay.
Okay, and then there's a whole thing of genetics and DSD, but I think like not go down that path really now, but I'm just saying there are like other things that if you do see someone, obviously I'm not saying you have to but if you decide to do it, it's not to say, oh no, I'm going to see someone to remove my bracelets. I'm going to see someone to see why I have this and if there's, you know, something down the line that can, you know, change this or something down the line which may affect other parts of me as well.
So what are examples of like other underlying issues that could cause like gynecomastia besides the hormonal imbalance?
Sure. So I'm sure you read about obviously high estrogen levels or aromatization, which obviously can cause gynecomastia. In men, you obviously can have breast mass, which obviously is not as common, but I mean, you would feel obviously if there is a mass there, or it's just, you know, like normal breast tissue. But apart from that, something that's also not very common is disorders of sexual differentiation. Okay, where, you know, somebody, you can, I'm not going to say like you can be, it's, you can have certain chromosomes where, you know, a male might be 46XY, but, and a woman will be 46XX. This is just genetically, but if there's been some alterations or mosaicism or like almost where your genetic makeup may be 46XX per se, or you can also be, I mean, 46XY is like a normal male, but there can be some alterations which may almost like downregulate certain hormones, you know, so that like as you were born and, you know, that could also play a part of you having now gynecomastia.
Okay. Are there like life-threatening causes? Like, is would
so is potentially that? So the other thing is so hormonal imbalances can be from can be caused from any, well, like I mean of like a cascade. So starting at your brain, you know, hormonal imbalances can be attributed to like a brain tumor in your pituitary. That's something that which can happen, you know.
That's scary.
So that's what I was saying. I think the point we're trying to make is like, is it a fear that you have? Is that why you're not, you don't want to consult? Like, you don't want to find out if there is something underlying? Because if there is something underlying, then you don't want to find out too later. Late. Or too late.
I mean, I don't. It wasn't a fear until now.
No, I mean, you asked if there's something. You asked if there was.
Up inside you.
It wasn't a fear until.
Not necessarily. Like, you know, that won't be the most common thing. But you're saying if there's something that is life-threatening, that can be a cause. So that is something which technically would be a bit more challenging to manage. But
So say there's a brain tumor that is contributing to the gynecomastia. Once the brain tumor is sorted out, would the gynecomastia disappear, or what then would happen?
So that tissue is already there. So to remove it, you still would need surgical
surgery to remove it. Okay.
But then it's like once your hormonal or your hormonal profile is back to like a normal, you wouldn't then further like develop
it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, there wasn't a fear until now. So I think I might go see someone.
Look, I think whether it be an endocrinologist, I don't think you need to go to a plastic surgeon. because you don't need to just remove them. You need to find out
the cause. Yeah.
The cause. Okay. An endocrinologist would probably be your first port of call. You agree?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, have you like noticed obviously any other body habitus changes or like wide hips or?
But I do have wide hips.
Okay. So, you know, obviously we talk about an androgenic type, which obviously is a female normal type and androgenic, which is a male type.
Uh-huh.
Obviously male having wide shoulders, you're not necessarily going to have a wide waist.
Yeah.
And obviously females being almost the opposite where they have, you know, a wide waist. So, yeah, these are things also, I suppose, to keep in consideration.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll probably see you at some point.
Interesting. Probably. Very interesting. Because I do have wider hips than like the conventional men.
Okay.
And obviously like the breast and
Are you,
so you can tell us what you're thinking.
No.
Because I've heard plus or minus the widest hips.
I mean, as pretty as it comes.
You can tell him like obviously what why we'd ask something like that.
So, I mean, as Vish was, I think, alluding to, was talking about. So, earlier he was speaking about the chromosomal abnormalities, the differences between male 46XY and female 46XX, right? And also speaking about mosaicism, so sometimes having a different chromosomal makeup that can affect the genes can actually affect your hormones early on in your development, which can cause you to grow breasts. I don't want to make any assumptions. I don't want to make any assumptions. But like a very rare possibility is that.
I think it's just very underdiagnosed.
Underdiagnosed.
But
quite rare is, you know, intersex.
Okay.
That is something that is potentially.
Okay.
We're just giving you options.
Options.
We're giving you the options here. We're not saying that's it.
You're not diagnosing.
No. Okay. It's just options. Until you've done, you know, like a full workup and things like that, then.
Yeah.
But they're just obviously spitballing some.
Okay.
Differentials or.
Okay.
What may be. Okay. Yeah. Do you have any children?
No, I'm 20.
Okay.
I am 20. I don't have kids.
Well, so you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, we know a few people.
With intersexuality, I have an idea of what it is, right? Question. I know of people, there are people who are born with, I don't know if this is true, but I've heard that people can be born with both. Genitals. Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that intersectional?
So there's different types. You know, some people can be very, if you obviously are born and raised as a male, there can be some very mild, like female phenotype or external genitalia.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be very like small things which may suggest like, oh, but, you know, maybe this is, you know, why certain things are like this.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have really severe forms where, you know, you can have a scrotum that's buffered and looks almost like labia, like a small penis that looks almost like a big clitoris.
Mm-hmm.
So those are obviously a lot more severe forms where it's very like in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
I would assume that generally those ones would present at a much
earlier. Yes, age. Yeah. Those ones at birth or like, you know, as a infant, you know, it's something that would be picked up.
Mm-hmm.
But the less severe forms are obviously things that go underdiagnosed, probably late until adulthood.
Okay.
So also gynecomastia can be something that's caused by the person themselves. There are various things that one can do to one's body.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, very commonly, you'll find this interesting is that in the prisoner population, prisoner population, a lot of men have gynecomastia. The reason why is because they postulate that it's because a lot of prisoners smoke cannabis, like excessive cannabis use.
Okay.
And that increases, apparently it increases your prolactin levels. Is the prolactin? If I remember correctly, I think it's the prolactin levels that increase, and that's what causes the...
I mean, I'm not 100% certain, but...
I don't think it's estrogen related. I think it's prolactin. So prolactin is the hormone that causes a woman to lactate.
Okay.
Like during, post childbirth.
Okay.
But it's also something I've also seen in like correctional facility patients where, I'm not sure if you've seen as well, but you know, obviously in a male prison there's only men, but obviously some people are referred to as the woman or
the vafies.
Yeah, the vafies.
Yeah.
So some go as far as to, like, you know, actually becoming or like trying to look like a woman. I have actually had a patient that was like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like,
but it was actually, they actually ended up having a psychiatric disorder. I mean, they believed they were a woman and they wanted to fall pregnant, and, you know, they believed they had a uterus, and, you know, if they ask questions on how they can become pregnant and will they be able to have a child. You know, these are obviously, like, it's biologically not normal, but you can't.
Yeah, and I think it's very different to the to being transgender. Or
yes,
like
that.
I think this is more bizarre.
Yeah, it's like a bizarre delusion, eh? Something.
Yeah.
Them believing they are women, is it? This is just, I want to understand, does it stem from, because once they're in the prison, they were treated as...
I think they get conditioned to...
Yeah, it could be like conditioned to believe that.
And not necessarily that they believed that even before they went into prison.
It's very difficult to say.
To tell.
I'm not a psychiatrist.
Okay,
dabble in, don't specialize in it. But it is a very interesting thing, actually. It would be nice to actually follow up, but
yeah.
I think, yeah, as you're saying, you know, being conditioned to, you know, every day somebody is calling you their vafi, you know, you probably end up believing that.
100%. 100%. So, I mean, it's it's a catch-22 because, like, now you want to treat these people. And some of them want treatment.
It's tough, eh?
Yeah. So that's the one population. And then the other, which we see now and then at our clinic, the Jens Clinic, www.jensclinic.co.za. Make sure you check us out. If you may also suffer with gynecomastia, and predominantly most of the patients that we see that have it are exogenous testosterone users, so anabolic steroid users. Because what happens is by a process called aromatization, so testosterone gets converted into estrogen when there's excessively high levels.
Okay.
And what then happens is that estrogen stimulates the receptors on the breast tissue to start growing, as I understand it. If I'm missing anything, you're welcome to add.
Yeah, or obviously, not specifically you, but high BMI or patients with a lot of, with high adiposity or fat content, a lot of aromatization happens in adipose or in fat tissue. So that can also stem or lead to higher estrogen levels and then gynecomastia.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then obviously, like, diabetes as well.
So, yeah, diabetes. Diabetes definitely can also contribute to that. Yeah, so those are the two main ones. Are there any others that...
I suppose the other thing, I mean, I would probably see in urology, but people with undescended testes or atrophic testes, or if you've had a previous testicular torsion, and it's happened, I have seen people where... they've had bilateral missed testicular torsions as a kid, you know, and then they present to you like as a teenager or as an adult, but they obviously haven't undergone puberty as yet. So obviously there's no androgens.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to ask you if you've had any procedures done or any operations.
I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I look, I think I've pretty much asked all the questions. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you wanted to like tell us about your journey or anything we've missed in terms of?
Not really. I think it was, I'm just like, I guess I'm more informed now.
Yeah.
I never really thought deeply that there might be other underlying issues outside of the hormonal imbalance.
So did you feel like this was just something different about you? Like you just felt like...
I just felt like it's every,
like
I mean,
some people
now,
got big noses, some people got big boobs.
Mm, yes. I think that's just how I feel, that I just have... I'm just a man with larger breasts.
Like, and on like a lighter note, like how do you feel? Like do you like look at them and go like, hey, I'm cool with my boobs.
Yeah, like I'm chilled. Like I'm not... scared to look at myself in the mirror naked. Like, yeah, I'm fine. I mean, I guess now I'm like, okay, yes, I am fine with myself and with them, but there might be.
Do women ever like, now we're going to get to the comments, right? Because I know you told us that some people are very harsh online.
Yeah.
And stuff. Do women ever like say like, hey friend, maybe you should get a A cup. Hey, do you want to come in?
Yeah, no, people did say in my comments with the two videos that, oh, you should get a bra. So that they stop bouncing around. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes, see.
Some people do use like sports bras because you know that like almost like flattens.
Yes. I've seen those. Mm.
Did you ever get bullied about it? Did anybody ever bully you like to your face?
No.
Online?
Yeah. Well, in the two videos, yes.
Mm. What's like the worst comment that someone made?
The worst.
Saying like the worst comment someone made.
I mean, it's just a little like condescending comments like, are you really a man? Oh, no, actually, yes. The one I don't like, the one I hate the most is where people are like, because, well, I'm a gay man. So people are like, oh, are you gay because you have breasts? I think that's the one that really, 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 really annoys me. Because I...
Like people think maybe you like transitioning or you're trying to want to be...
Yes. Okay. Well, two people called me a transformer. They were like, are you a transformer?
Yes.
So that was the one that also made me like make the video explaining what the condition is, because I'm just like, stop. The other one is people think that I'm attracted to men and I decided to be gay because of this condition.
Okay.
So those are the worst.
That's a bit
the
weird.
Worst comments.
Yeah, no, it's always weird when people say like you chose this life.
Yeah. But it's
I mean,
also
there's
like
a proper medical condition.
Yeah, also it's like keyboard warriors because. Nobody would ever say that to my face.
Yeah, that's a harsh thing to say.
Exactly. Nobody would ever say that to your face. So,
box them.
Yeah. But okay, now that we're going down this path, so tell me, within the gay community, my thinking is that like if you're a man who likes men, then that feature they're not gonna like that. Like other men are gonna go like, I don't want a man with boobs. Mm-hmm. I want a man who looks like a man.
Man.
Has any man like ever told you that? Has any gay dude been like, yeah, I like you, but
No. It's in my relationships and situationships, it's never been an issue. It's never been a topic.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
I think also it's because I don't make it an issue. Mm. Like it's never been something that like I've
you never said, oh, I have this thing, by the way.
Yes. I've never had that, oh, by the way, I have this insecurity, which is my boobs and stuff. So if I'm not making it an issue, Why would it be, you know, an issue for you? Yeah.
100%, 100%. Yeah. So you don't wear anything to support them?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Let him hang.
I don't
let him hang, man.
Him. I don't.
I mean, we're men. We have balls. That's what we do with the balls. Why would we do with the balls?
Never had any issues with like lactation? Because obviously that's with another.
What? Lactation, like milk?
Yeah.
Like never
no,
came out?
No,
okay.
No, no.
Okay,
no,
cool.
I think.
So maybe it's not a prolactinoma. The one, I don't know. We can't say yet.
The one issue I've had was just. And this was one of the symptoms when I was doing my research about it. It's just like a bit of pain around the breast area. But this is like once in 2 years. I don't even know when last I experienced that pain. But there was a time, I think it was around first year, where I would say to my friends, like, my breasts are just like, there's just this, it's not like a very sharp pain, like an unbearable sharp pain. But there's like, there was some sort of like discomfort. Then I'll just say like, I don't know, there's a bit of discomfort around my breast area. But then as I was doing the research, that was one of the symptoms of gynecomastia. A bit of discomfort and pain around the breast area. I don't know if that would also be because of like an underlying issue. But yeah, that's the only thing I can think of that has ever low-key bothered me with it. But otherwise, I'm just... Like
does
said,
it like still happen though?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
So we also didn't talk about the fact that gynecomastia can confer a higher risk of breast cancer.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And so that's something that you must definitely be like cognizant of,
mm-hmm.
even if you're not willing or right now want to surgically remove them.
Mm-hmm.
Feel for lumps, just like a woman.
Okay.
Got to make sure you feel for the lumps.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, and this is, just reminds me, like when I was going through puberty, I started getting like these like little lumps in my breast. And I actually went and saw a doctor and he was like, no, they're just little lipomas and they're probably hormone related.
Mm-hmm.
Like your hormones are fluctuating and this and that. And actually when I was in high school, I was quite fat.
Mm-hmm.
And I had quite big boobs and it bothered me so much. So I must say to you, well done for having just the confidence to accept your body. Because mm-hmm. for me, I was like, this is the work. Because for me, it was weird because I also, again, just in a similar way, I started losing weight, but the boobs would still remain.
Okay.
Like I still had these big boobs, these like massive nipples.
Uh-huh.
I hated it. And look, as time went on, I exercised them away.
Okay.
But yeah, it was really something that I battled with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
Self-confidence wise. But hey, look, we're here now.
True.
And I think I have a relatively flat chest now. There's a muscle under it too.
Oh, slay.
Slay. All right, let's go to the reaction videos. We're going to watch some videos and just okay. react as naturally as we possibly can.
Okay.
Or do you have any questions for us? Or?
I think it would also be something I need to write down, a list of all the doctors I need to visit.
Okay.
Because cool. I am, there is now like a bit of worry, like not the biggest, but just a bit of worry because I would want to find out what underlying issues I possibly could have. Hopefully it's just a hormonal imbalance and nothing serious. But yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the bed. Like eating the bus in bed.
This must stay high, man.
Lego.
Yeah, that's not real.
No, there's no way.
That is not real.
Yeah.
That's nah, man. nonsense. This is like a... No, guys, come on, man. We're doctors. Ugh. Why are we looking at a fake bear tear up a car?
Ugh. In those shows, Is It Cake?
What show?
Is It Cake? You know, they make like cakes that look like real things.
Yeah. Is it real or is it cake?
I can tell that's you a cake AI. Made that video. All right, next. Yo, it better not be an AI. Yo. Damn.
He wants you to know, go home as soon as possible.
Yeah.
He wants to wrap it up. Wrap up the shift and go home.
That's a skill that I don't think many people want to have. Like, I mean, like, it's a good skill to have, but then you work at McDonald's.
If you're working in one of those places, the chances are, if you're very efficient like that, they'll find a way to put you to do something else.
Yeah. That I think is true. Mm. Or they may just be like, he's so good at wrapping these burgers.
Keep him there.
We can never let him leave. Mm. The way he flips the burgers, the way he packs the chips. You really think we're going to find anybody else like that? Nah, man.
It's like those cashiers, the ones that are like, shh.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a catch 22. It can work in his benefit, mm-hmm. but I don't think so. I think the man's going to be flipping and rapping for a long time. That's just my opinion. Or he could become a surgeon. He's got quick hands.
Yeah. You don't need quick hands.
Yeah, you don't need quick hands. You need accurate hands. Precise hands.
How long do surgeries usually take?
Well, it depends on. If you want to get your boobs removed,
uh-huh.
How long would a mastectomy take?
When I was in Gen Surge, a mastectomy, like each side will take just under an hour.
Okay.
So I'd both. Say hour and a half probably for both.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe you less. Yours are sure. not, I mean, those are not like cancer related, oncologically mm-hmm. related. So it'll probably be even be quicker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they don't just make a cut like around. No. You basically cut and it's then
multiple
remove
different
the,
techniques. Yeah.
And then remove the actual tissue underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And then preserve the skin and then kind of try and close the skin so that it doesn't look possible. Yeah, so that it looks fairly natural.
Mm. Okay, interesting.
That's what they do. Yeah. Okay, next video.
What happened?
Wait, did that guy just...
Beers?
The EMS guy who was looking after, who was attending to a patient,
uh-huh.
bumped the waiter who had a whole lot of beers. Is that what we just watched?
Okay.
And then they fought about it.
Sure.
Like, have you ever been in a situation where somebody's called you like, hey, is there a doctor here? Come help.
Yeah.
When?
There was once on the plane. I think I must have been an intern, and this one person was like they were like an epileptic, mm-hmm. and they were having a seizure on the plane. But they had also been to a rave the night before.
Mm. Oh,
obviously this I found out after, you know, like I mean at that time you can really only do like make sure the patient is safe. They're on their left lateral. They don't like. You know, bite their tongue, injure themselves while they're having a seizure.
Hectic.
And there was another time, actually, it was my birthday at Greenhouse.
Okay.
Yeah, a few years back. So I think I actually don't know what happened.
Uh-huh.
We just, everybody just like formed like a circle around this lady. What seemed like maybe had... overdosed or was very drunk or someone had drugged her and then seemed to have or possibly hit her head on something. Ooh. And was like unconscious on the floor.
And then did you bump the waiter with all his beers?
I was probably as good as being the waiter.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Hectic, man.
Wait, so, are you obligated to help in that sitting in that
so
case.
Medical legally you're not no. obligated to help, but uh-huh. if yeah. you heed to the call, if you take the call, mm-hmm. you can't put the call down.
Mm.
So if you go to the scene and you start,
we weren't even gone to the scene. The scene was where we were.
Oh,
you so were like we, our table.
Steps. Yeah,
like we were maybe 15 people. Were you not there? Like Rufus was there.
No, Mass I don't think was I was there. There. I can't remember.
So you don't have a duty to act if you're not.
No.
On call or the designated not medical practitioner no. at that establishment.
I know a lot of the trauma surgeons stop at CACs, like MVAs and things.
Yeah, like, you know, you're not obligated to,
mm-hmm.
but if you do see something and you are called to assist, you can just drive off. No, okay. You're not going to get into trouble.
Okay.
But if you start helping them, you can't just be like,
it's too hard. Too tough.
I'm leaving.
The main thing is to try and get them to a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's something you can do, like as an emergency to save this person's life in the next few seconds,
mm-hmm.
that should be done. But if it's not, then the main thing is just to try and stabilize until like an ambulance gets there to mm-hmm. take them to a hospital.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
I would say. I mean, you work in the ED. You shouldn't be trying to do too much in a place where you can't actually do a lot.
Okay.
100%. Do what you can, man. I think the most recent time I can remember, it was in the gym and then they called. And I was just like,
yes.
Went. This lady claimed that she was having an asthma attack on the treadmill. Like, while she was running, I think she slipped and quah. Slid just weep off.
Where was at Old Aids?
Yeah, at Old Aids. And then I went to go and see her and I was like, this is nonsense, man. She's perfectly fine. She's being overly dramatic. The woman never, even after I assessed her and everything, and they were ready to call the ambulance and whatever, never to this day I see her. She doesn't even say thank you. Doesn't even greet me. Nothing. So after that, I was like, actually, you know what? This world, people don't give a damn. They don't give a damn. I'm nobody not helping cares. You. No, why? Took time out of my life to do that. Why?
Take.
Anyway, that's all we have time for today, folks. It's been a interesting and eye-opening, I hope, for you as well, Hope. I really hope that you get the help that you need. Or desire, if that's something that you desire. And if not, hey, come to www.jensclinic.co.za where we can help you. Maybe.
You can see our other colleague, Dr. Kaji.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. Who can potentially help you with doing a hormonal panel. Mm-hmm. We can assess your testosterone levels, your estrogen levels. We can see if there's anything that we can adjust there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but thank you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing hope.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, that's been a great episode. We'll catch you guys next week. That's it from me, Dr. Suhail Essa, signing off.
Dr. Vishay Naidu, signing out.
Hope, better known as Pretty Jane, signing out.
We'll catch you next week.